Mr. Aggressive Podcast. Real life.
Real faith.
Real talk.
We've been having some real talk, mostly about, you know, financial struggles and taxes and...
We're poor.
Well, I just said, like, how I had, we had spent some money with, like, the money that we got when Tiffany's dad passed, which wasn't, like, insane amount of money, but we, you know, I bought a car and we went on a trip and some stuff that, like, just make sure we're in good shape. We're like, well, we'll replace some of that money when, like, I sell my old car or when, you know, our tax refund comes back, which our tax refund wasn't huge, but we're getting one, which is nice because in the years past, I haven't.
Yeah.
And it was so funny to me because I keep getting these papers where they're like, we're going to need another 30 days to review your tax refund. And they've sent this to me twice now. And every time with a 30-day extension. And I'm like, if they would do that to me, if I would have done that, like, hey, you owe us taxes. And I'm like, I'll get you in another 30 days. I would just be in jail by now. So
they got me, dude. They owe me $300, and they brought it. First of all, I had it direct deposit, but they didn't direct deposit it. They tried to send it by mail. And the mailman comes, like, before 5.
Yeah.
So he's, like, coming by. And until the last day, he leaves a note that says, like, call the IRS. You can't get it now. We've tried too many days. And I'm like, okay, I'll just wait till next year and maybe get it back then. But I don't know. Donald Trump will probably use it for a nuke or something.
Thank God for man-made systems. Am I right? Yeah. It was really, really, really coming through clutch right now.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting news cycle, which we are not qualified to talk on at all.
Yeah.
Not even in the least. But, yeah,
I'm running from that conversation.
Yeah, for real.
I ran from that.
I ran from that situation. That was not very good.
No, I could have worded it better.
Yeah, I think you should have. Yeah, because you said I'm running, which that's nothing actually.
Yeah,
that's but bad. Yeah, no, you had it. The joke was there. You just didn't implement it very well. That's okay.
Do you remember that joke that we would say in high school or middle school? Well, I say we, but you're like 60.
Yeah, I would have.
It's like Iraq, Iran, or something like that. No, it's filthy. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Chinese dirty knees or something.
What?
Anyway, I'm older than you. Our little jokes and things, sayings we would say never really.
They don't transfer.
Yeah, yeah. It's like speaking a different language. Skibbity Riz, Ohio, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was that's a epiphany I've been having, bro. Is that you're like way older than me.
That's an epiphany that you're just now having?
Seriously. I didn't really think about it until church camp and realized that you were almost 40.
Yeah.
Now I'm 22. 22 today, baby.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
That's a good time.
Should we celebrate birthdays since we're born into sin?
Wow, thanks for the heads up on that one. That was a doozy. Sounds like something one of those middle schoolers would ask me at camp when they dude, I went and I preached this message at the junior high camp. So I did senior high camp the whole week, and then junior high camp I was like, all right, I'll come and preach one message. I went down, I preached a 25-minute message with like hardly any notes. I was just like, this is the passage I'm gonna preach, and then I'm gonna try to make it like junior high friendly and, and something they can really grasp. And so I preached this message. It was like 20, 25 minutes, but it was good. Kids were attentive. They really seemed like it really resonated with them. And then for 45 minutes, I just answered questions like on the spot.
Really?
Yeah. And what you just dropped on me was kind of like the stuff these.
What was the dumbest question you got?
I don't know. None of them were like super dumb, but there was just a lot of questions about angels and hell and heaven and the shape of the earth. And just weird stuff that I was like, I don't really think about this on the regular, but I'll answer these questions. But a lot, there were some really good ones, and then there were some like really just kind of off the wall ones. One that stuck out to me though, that was like a really, really good question, is this girl said, would it be possible for God to forgive Satan?
Sure.
And I was like, whoa, that's. Yeah, but how do you explain that? Like,
well, it's like the stupid question of, like, can God make a rock so big he can't move?
Right, right, right.
You can't really answer that question because that's not in his, like, nature.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, God can do anything. Why couldn't he forgive Satan?
Yeah. I don't know. I said, that's a really good question. I said, could he? Yes. But I don't think that he will in a redemptive sense. But I don't, like, I don't know how you justify that. I don't know.
Have you ever heard the thing where people say hell was only created for Satan, not for man?
Yeah, I've heard that. I will say one thing I do think on this, and I made this was one of the questions, an answer to one of the questions. One of the questions, I can't remember exactly how the young man worded it, but he was asking me, like, what do I think hell is like or something like that? And I said, you know, we don't really have a really clear picture of what it's like. We have,
you're like, have you ever been in a Taco Bell drive through at 6 a.m.? Wait, 6 a.m.
There's a parable that Jesus tells where he talks about a person in hell. But the one thing I told him, I said, what we can't do is get our picture of hell from, like, you know,
story,
cartoons and stories and books and movies.
Great
and stuff.
And stuff like
but
that.
Yeah, because a lot of times what we see is, like, the devil and these demons, like, torturing people with pitchforks. And so I told him, I mentioned that what you're talking about. And I said, you know, hell was created as punishment for Satan and his demons too. So, like,
yeah.
So no, they're not in charge there.
Yeah.
Well, then that spurred this question. Somebody was like, well, then who's in charge of hell? And I was like, well, I mean, technically God is the ruler of all creation. So technically God, but I was like, don't get mixed up and think that, like, God's going to be torturing and punishing people in hell in, like, a tortury kind of way. I said, this is why it's impossible for us to, like, try to explain what we think hell is. Because to me, I think whatever it is, it's just, I think it is God in his righteous justice giving people exactly what they want. And that's people who have rejected him their entire lives, never wanted anything to do with God.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, well, if you didn't want anything to do with me in life, then you're not going to have anything to do with me for eternity. So, like, eternal separation from God. And I think the torment comes from that, not from, like, inflicted, like, torture and like ripping your fingernails out and silly stuff that we get from, like, you know, stories and books and stuff. But it's not like The Great Divorce where they're gray people getting bigger and bigger, although I do love that book. I think we just have a skewed understanding of what it is and what it isn't. And,
well, I think it's because of, like, the like media revolution where we got all these movies, all these, like, theories and takes and conspiracies where it's like, all they're fine. I mean, like, The Great Divorce is an awesome book.
Yeah.
And if hell and heaven work that way, cool. If not, cool. Like, either way, I want to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Which, for some reason, I feel conflicted saying that.
Yeah.
I feel weird about, like, saying that I only believe in Jesus to go to heaven. Like, that's the selling point. Do you feel weird about that?
Well, for me, that's not the selling point. But I think that is the selling point when you come into salvation, for most people, I would say. But it should, as you grow deeper, that should be, like, just a bonus sort of thing. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's kind of on the back of my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it should be
about living for Jesus now, not for some, like, reward in heaven. I get so bent out of shape when people are like, well, I just can't wait to get my mansion in heaven. It's like, I think you're missing the point a little bit.
Somebody told me the other day, what was it? I was at the laundromat, and you have to pull money out of the ATM, but you can only get, like, 10s and 20s. So I get, like, a 20 and get the change I need, use the change, and give the rest to the lady behind the counter, right?
Yeah.
And she told me, she's like, God's going to bless you for what you've done. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that. I hope God blesses me, but I don't think it's for what I do.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this a little bit on the way here today. When we were talking about not living for grace, but living from grace.
Yeah.
It's like, whether God is going to bless you for doing that or not, you didn't do it just to receive the blessing.
Right.
And that's the big difference. And that's what everything we do should not be so that we get some kind of, like, eternal reward or something that God's going to bless us with in return. Like, oh, I'm going to give this because God's going to bless it. We should give and do things for people because we've been blessed.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it just kind of works out. Like, we don't have to we don't have to make a big deal out about it. Yeah. It'll be like, well, God, I'm still waiting for that blessing from when I did this in 1994, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't have been doing anything in 1994, but.
I would have been swimming.
That's a really stupid joke.
Drawback to one of our previous podcasts with the Leo Tolstoy podcast. I don't know if he really believes that there's no heaven, but his point is interesting, though, because it's almost like he's making that point where it's like, I do good things for people so I can go to heaven. I do righteous things so I can go to heaven. And instead, it's like, I serve people because I love God.
Yeah.
I do the right things because I love God, not so that I can obtain something. And I think that's like the heart that God's calling us to, is just like to do good for the sake of good.
Yeah. And I think that's where we twist James' words sometimes and get all bent out of shape and confused about like works-based faith and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Is I think that's it. What you just said is exactly what James is saying, in that he's saying, if you have faith, and you love the Lord, then you're going to operate from a place of wanting to glorify him with your actions.
Right.
Not we're doing this so that we can earn the thing.
Right.
And that's what gets so mixed up.
Yeah. But I think most people honestly, like
I would hope so. Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I'm talking about like Christians, like when we judge the Catholics or the Orthodox, most Catholics don't believe, like they yeah. agree with the same thing we're saying, but we get so caught up on the faith without works is dead thing where it's like, we're just playing word semantics. It's like, it's the heart. I think God just wants our heart, and that's like such a cliche, like open-handed thing to say, yeah. but he wants us to do good for the sake of him.
Well, and we say that most Christians know that and understand that. But I still have, like, you know, I made the joke about the mansions in heaven thing, but I had a serious conversation with somebody recently where they had brought up, and you and I have talked about this before, like, I just don't want to get to heaven, and then they open that book, and then that screen pops up with all the stuff that I've ever done, and I got to see all the stuff that I did wrong, and I got to hope that, you know, that God lets me into heaven. It's like, no, none of that. That's all made up. That's yeah. false gospel. That is not real. I don't think God's got some big LED screen that he's playing all your dirty laundry for everybody.
You're like at like a drive-in.
Some of these church gossips would really enjoy that. That would be heaven for some of these folks out here.
They're just like watching in the stands.
It's like Real Housewives of the church. But they dig that. But it's not like that. It's not like that. And it doesn't, because the reason it can't be like that is because none of our works mean anything.
No.
Christ did the work. And so it's like our faith in Christ that he has made a way is the thing that saves us. So if it were up to, well, I hope that the good on the screen outweighs the bad on the screen.
Good luck.
Yeah. It's not working out.
Yeah. Good luck. And that's his covenant with us, man.
Yeah.
His covenant is unbreaking.
Right.
Unfailing.
Right.
Because of what he did, not because of what we're doing.
Yeah. And that's what I preached on today, and that's what we want to talk about today is this idea of covenant and what does that look like in our lives and biblically speaking and all of this stuff. I think it's way simpler than we make it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Covenant is like a big word we use.
Yeah, can you explain covenant in layman terms?
Well, and the people will talk about the old covenant and the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
But the old covenant is just pointing to the new covenant. Like all of the old covenant
but what is a
representative of the new covenet.
What
covenant,
is a covenant? A covenant period.
What is a covenant in general?
Yeah.
It's like a contract. It's like an agreement between two people that in our world, a covenant is if person A meets all of their terms and person B meets all of their terms, then they're in an agreement together.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens in the world is when one side breaks their part of the covenant, then that breaks the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's no longer binding. But the covenants that God makes, He fully knows and expects that we're going to break our end of the covenant, and so he fulfills the whole covenant.
Yeah.
And so when we look at the Old Testament and we see how God handled that, he has this sacrificial system that he says to Abraham, he's like, you know, offer blood offerings and sacrifices, and then he puts way more detail and clarity into that with the Levitical laws and things like that, because shocker, over the course of hundreds of years, they had like found loopholes to work around, like, okay, well, this is what Abraham had to do, but if we do this, this, and this, then it's fine, and that's good enough. And so God comes through and leads them out of Egypt and says, all right, now that you're a people again, a nation of your own, then you need to follow these standards. And he sets the standards very clearly. But again, it's stuff that they can't do on their own. They're not capable of fulfilling all of it. And so, and that's why we have the laws, to show us that we need God. We can't just do it on our own.
Yeah.
So he makes this covenant with them that, like, follow these commandments, do these things. If you break the commandments, here's what you have to do. And all of it points to Jesus, because, like, even the, like the perfect sacrifice of the perfect spotless lamb, all of that points to Jesus. And so God basically, when he makes a covenant with us, he says, this is the covenant. By the way, you're never going to keep your end of the bargain. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'll just cover your end of the bargain also.
Yeah. And he made it easy for us by writing the law on our hearts.
Yeah.
We don't have to know Jewish tradition or Jewish law or anything like that. First Malachi talks about what you were talking about, doesn't it? Where they're like changing the law. I've heard that a lot, where people say like Jews changed the law. And I thought for a long time that that was the Old Testament, like Jews changed the Old Testament.
No.
But it's cool that we have like what God said.
Yeah.
And then in history we have what Jews did.
Yeah. So in Malachi, it's like the last time that God talks to them for like 400 years until the Messiah comes.
Yeah.
So last time he talks to them is through this prophet Malachi, and he says to them, he's like, you're bringing your leftovers and your scraps. Like, they had already twisted it to the point where they're like, this is good enough. Mm-hmm. This is what we got. God can take it or leave it. You know, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. He's going to get what he gets. And it's like, well, no, that's not how God operates. He's going to be worshipped how he wants to be worshipped, which is holy and just and righteous. And it's not an ego thing for God. It's just like, this is what his holiness requires.
So what is the new covenant with God?
So the new covenant, the new covenant is where that's where God comes through on the, clearly you can't handle this, so I'm going to cover the rest of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that's Christ's death and his sacrifice, justification for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And so then in that's the new covenant, and all we have to do is accept it. Like, it's we do this in human life so easily with things that we would definitely not agree with, that we will be in trouble with if we break our end of the covenant. Like, for example, when you're on your iPhone and there's new terms and agreements and you just click the button and don't even read them, that's a covenant.
Yeah.
And if you broke those things and didn't do those things, they have every right to steal your information or whatever they do, because you're breaking your end of the covenant.
Yeah.
And we'll make little covenants like that in the world with ease, with the click of a button, without ever thinking of the consequences. But we'll think that God is too harsh in his expectations, and like, I can't buy into that covenant, when it's the same level of ease. All we have to do is accept the covenant that he's offering us.
Yeah, we call that in the dating scene nowadays, we call that boundaries.
Yeah.
We have all these boundaries, these like, well, I don't judge fat girls, I'm just not into them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that type of stuff. And it's like, we have all these things where it's like, if you don't meet these expectations,
right,
then you can't be a part of this covenant with me. You can't be part of this relationship. A relationship is a covenant.
Yeah.
So what are some, like, some worldly covenants or, like, material covenants that we experience?
I'm glad you asked. So this is where I was, like, nervous to preach today, because there's some stuff that, like, I just knew was going to be heavy. So,
And it wasn't you.
And, right, right. And I just had to just be like, this is what the word God's put on my heart.
Wait,
and
did I'm you like, not get it?
What?
You had some
Oh, because I'm heavy. I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Siri, play crickets.
So, I was having a hard time with this message today because it deals with a lot of stuff that I know people are dealing with or struggles or broken covenants that people have in their life. So one of the there's a lot of different covenants that we make, but one is like really fresh in my mind right now with everything that's going on in the world is this covenant that we feel like we have to make with like powers and principalities and like systems of the world, right? Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, we live in a country that's very much about like you've got to be pledge your allegiance to your country and be mm-hmm. patriotic and all of these things. So there's part of being like patriotic is making a covenant with your country. And there's that like nationalism side of covenant. There's this weird thing that we do in American Christianity where we, and I got to be careful. I don't want to sound like I'm an anti-Semite. That is not the case. I love the Jewish people. I don't love the government of right. Israel to the point where I'm going to just like, well, if I curse the government of Israel, then God's going to curse me, because that's not biblical. Like when God says the only place that that's in the Bible at all, God's talking to the person Israel,
Jacob,
and he says those that bless you will be blessed and those who curse you will be cursed. He's talking about the person. This is a covenant God is making right. with Israel as a person, that through him he'll become the father of many nations.
Right.
And that is fulfilled in Christ.
Right.
In that now all nations, even those not blood related, can enter into a covenant with God through Jesus Christ.
But that's not a new covenant thing, is it? Because I hear that a lot where like Jesus opened the door for Gentiles per se. But I can't remember what the verse is, but there's a verse in the Old Testament that says to the Jews to share their faith with the Gentiles.
Well, yes, and Rahab is an example of someone who is not of the Israelite descendants, but God counts her faith as righteousness.
Yeah.
And that's just one example. There's multiple in the Bible.
Sure.
So God was always that. Even Abraham, the very first of that covenant, Abraham, when God makes a covenant with him, he says that God saw Abraham's faith and he counted that to him as righteousness. Faith in what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, faith in Christ before Christ ever came. Like faith in the covenant God that fulfills his side and our side of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that's always been the case. God has not changed. It's just the presentation is different now.
Well, and Abraham, when the covenant with God is created or begins, is not a citizen of Israel.
Right.
Right. So,
well, that didn't exist. It's nothing. Yeah.
Right. So like we like have this tie with Israel, the nation.
Right.
And even like the government in Israel. I saw a study that like over 70% of the residents of Israel don't even like the government. Like he had to start a whole nother party and all types of stuff to like get in. So it's not like, first of all, it's not Christians versus Jews.
Right.
Because we believe that like the covenant is continued through Christianity, not through what we would call Judaism now. So technically we're like grafted in Jews.
But I believe that God is going to, just like he would for any of us, reveal himself to the actual physical descendants of Abraham and give them the opportunity to receive his grace. That's
the same way he'll do for everybody else who doesn't already know him.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So I don't have, so there's that kind of covenant where we feel like we have to align ourselves with some kind of nation or philosophy. And don't like this for this Christian podcast, it sounds super anti-Christian for us to say this, but I would say that the same, we enter into those same covenants in like the pagan world and the like non faith-based world as well, because it's the same as like just throwing all your cards in on Palestine or all of your cards in on like the LGBTQ community, like all of these things where we like, I'm so aligned with this thing that it's more important than anything else. That's a covenant. And when we do that, we're incapable, and so is that entity or system or whatever of keeping the covenant that it's bound to break.
Yeah, and you can't follow two covenants, especially when they're conflicting.
Right.
So, like, this is like, you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other.
Exactly.
So it's like, if you're a Christian and you're all about LGBTQ pride because you just have a heart for those people, and you're, like, at the Pride Festival, you're dyeing your hair purple, you're, like, all in on this. You're serving this and no longer this.
Yeah, yeah.
And we could do that in our personal lives, in ministry, in what we call Christian ministry.
Come on, yeah.
in nursery or children's education, we could be so focused on the children and the children and the children and the children that we forget about our grown brothers and sisters right next to us.
Yeah.
And we experienced a lot of this recently. I mean, when we went to Honduras, we experienced it in a week. We talked to super old people in wheelchairs. We talked to super young children that don't even speak English. And it's like, the gospel is so much more encompassing than these individual covenants we make. That's why this capital C covenant is bigger. Yep. Podcast title, capital C covenant.
Yeah,
dude.
I love that. That's good.
Stop playing.
Yeah, but that's part of the whole. So that's part of the broken covenants that we can make, or false covenants that we can make.
Sure.
The other one would be in relationships. And this is like, you know, when the Bible talks about being unequally yoked.
Sure.
And we always want to say that about, like, Christians marrying non-Christians or whatever. And yes, that's part of it. But that's also, like, business practices and, like, friendships that you're hanging your entire, like, social status on.
Yeah. People you spend the most time
with. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And when you do those things, I'm not saying you can't have non-Christian friends. That would be crazy for me to say that. But when those become, like, our primary focus, whatever it is, those are covenants that are bound to break as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not possible for us to, like, make that covenant pact and it hold up. Then the other would be, like, when we're playing, like, as you always say, quit playing. When we're playing at covenants, and this is, like, people who are, like, living together and having sex, but they won't ever commit to marriage.
Like,
and
one foot
just,
in.
And they're just like, this is my, well, it's fine. We've been together forever. We're faithful to each other. Okay, well then, where's the commitment? Where's the covenant? Because that's just playing at covenant.
Yeah.
You're saying we want all of the things that go along with it without making the actual commitment of covenant.
This is the same thing we do with our covenant with God. Where we want the things that are convenient for us.
Yes.
We want him to bless our food at dinner time. We want him to bless our house and our land and our family and make sure our kids are safe and make sure they're successful
and
they have a good job when they grow up. But like church though, like it's race weekend.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like church. Yeah. Why go to church?
Yeah, yeah. There's a game on.
Pacers might win tonight, dude. I got to sleep in to stay up for this game. I got work in the morning.
What's crazy is that by the time this podcast comes out, the Pacers will have won or lost. Like that's just. But you're being. I mean, that's serious. That is reflective of our covenant that we try to enter in with God, and this same thing happens with divorce. So this passage I preached says God hates divorce.
Yeah.
And I think that's so hard for some people to hear because they've been through it and they think now somehow that disqualifies them from grace, which is crazy.
When I hear that, it sounds like God almost is giving, he talks about the woman of your youth, right?
Yeah.
And it's almost like God has given you this woman, right? And then you kind of push her off because you want to go do your own things. And he's saying he hates that you despise your youth. And I always think about that with you or with my friends that find a girl while they're young or something like that. Do you believe in the thing where God has a woman for you? Do you believe in that? Or do you think it's just kind of
I think all relationships God has for us. I think that's, Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. And I think that.
Where's my woman of my youth?
I don't know, man.
She's out there somewhere. You're all the 70-year-old women watching, dude, hit me up.
You're 22 now.
22.
But,
I'm basically an adult.
Yeah, you're almost old like me. But the flip side of that is when God says he hates divorce, it's because he says because it's like. It's a violence against the covenant, which is so it is. But the reason that he hates it is because when we look at his covenant and if we think that our lives are to reflect his covenant, but then we have such a serious one and we break it.
Yeah.
Then it's like, then, I mean, I'm sure you've met people who have been through divorce and like, I'm never getting married again because I can never trust anybody again.
Yeah.
Only put that on like this cosmic divine scale that now you're like, I'm never going to trust God again because I couldn't trust this person in this covenant that's supposed to reflect the covenant that God has with me.
Yeah.
And it's like such a distortion because God doesn't operate that way. God is never going to drop the ball on the covenant.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for us to comprehend that when we live in a world full of broken covenants.
Yeah, and I think that's why. So this covenant thing, I think about it like a father, right? So say I'm marrying a woman and we come to my father and ask for permission, right? And we're like, look, Dad, I really want to marry this girl. I'm going to marry her for the rest of my life, be committed to her, yada, yada, yada. So imagine put God in physical form, like he's your father standing in front of you. And you are having this covenant with this woman, but to this person.
Yeah.
Right? So this person is ultimately the one over the covenant.
Yeah.
And that's how all our covenants should be. Our covenant with our work.
Yeah.
Our work, like what the work expects out of me and what I expect out of the work should be God ordained. My relationship should be God ordained. My friendships, everything should be like God wants me here and he's using this for his purpose, for his glory.
Right.
So I think a touch back on the friend thing. I have a friend who has tons of secular friends. Again, not inherently sinful, right? Like what you're saying. But his main goal is to spend time with these kids all the time, all the time, all the time. And he's like, well, maybe someday I'll get a chance. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, no, 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 no. There are so many other people out there that are willing to hear your testimony and hear your witness than these people. That isn't the reason you're telling me you hang out with these kids is not true.
I promise, and I know this because I've lived it, you can say that kind of stuff all you want, but I promise they're having more of an influence on you than you are on them.
Absolutely. So we have a Bible study, right? Me and the guys from my church out in Hartsville. Same guy says, couldn't make it tonight. I had plans. We do the Bible study same time, same day, every night with some guy that's not Christian, like all this. And it's like, because he's not Christian, again, don't not spend time with him. But like, your commitment is to the church,
right?
To God. Your commitment is not to your fun time or your leisure time.
Right.
Like your this covenant is greater than this covenant you have with this friend, right?
Yeah.
Because the covenant should ultimately be pointing to the capital C covenant.
Yeah.
Is the way I think about it.
Yeah. And if that guy sees, oh well, he's not going to hang out with his church friends, he'll brush that off. Then to him, that's like, why would he ever think that church would be important?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, because like, oh man, we're about to go down so many rabbit holes, but there's like this fickle thing we do in relationships where like loving this person is more important and like showing this person that I care about them and I'm willing to spend time with them is more important. But then we're like, it's like the terms of service thing you're talking about. It's like we have this like list, this contract in front of us with God where it's like, fellowship, you know, pray, just love me, believe in me. Then you have this other thing, you're like, well, this kind of gets in the way of this, but like, this is still kind of good, so maybe I should do this, right? But now you're putting this in your pocket, and you're like, all right, let me check this out for a little bit until it fails. And you're like, okay, back to this
now
one.
Back to the
It's like, how about we just, and I'm talking, preaching to myself right now, how about we just stay right here? Because I was telling you earlier, I know that God doesn't need anything from me. He doesn't need me to serve him or anything like that. But because of what God has done for me, I want to serve God. Holy.
Yeah.
Holy with the H, but holy with the WH too. Like with all of me.
Yeah.
So like, I don't want to be smoking weed. I don't want to have a nicotine addiction. I don't, like, I got that Covenant Eyes thing, bro. Haven't watched porn once, but I'm still going crazy on the meat stick. You know what I mean?
Well, but... And I mean, I'm glad that you're not watching porn. And it, but I was like, I thought maybe it wasn't working right because I hadn't gotten any notifications. So I'm like,
I tried to look it up once, bro. I got on YouTube. I was like, maybe it won't get me if I get on YouTube.
No, it got you. But I'm like, yeah, I hadn't seen anything yet. So I thought, dang, maybe this thing's broken.
Yeah.
Is this thing on?
I've cleaned that up, but still, like. Like, I just want to be cleaner, bro, because it's like this covenant that God has with me. It's so unfair in my mind that he continues to bless me, although, like, I'm not living my life for him.
Yeah.
like that and knowing that there's no rule list for this contract where if I break these rules, then God's going to take the contract back. It's like, so we're defining all these covenants, right? We're defining all these relationships, friendships, whatever. But God's covenant is so much different. And you kind of hit on that at the beginning where it's like his covenant doesn't have a list of rules that we have to check off.
Right.
It has.
And it doesn't require anything of us. But it also, like, doesn't just let us off the hook.
Exactly.
Because there are still temporal consequences to our actions. Like, that's just a reality of life. And I think that's the part that people miss when they say stuff like, oh, well, if you believe that, like, grace is enough, then you just think you can just go on and sin however you want and live your life, whatever, and God's going to, it's just
read fine. Romans.
It's like, I promise, that sinful life is still going to have the consequences here on earth that it's going to have. And some of those are really messy.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want that either.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, porn, I wonder why I don't have a girlfriend all the time. I know why I don't have a girlfriend.
Right.
Because I watch porn.
Yeah.
I objectify women. I'm uncomfortable around women now just because I'm scared of where my brain is going to go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, just take this from me. God, just take these thoughts from me. And then when I really think about it, it's like, well, I'm like actively disobeying God every night.
Yeah.
Basically committing adultery against God, against myself.
Yeah.
And like it has this reaction where like I'm not ready for a girlfriend. I literally can't facilitate a relationship because I've like destroyed my mind.
Yeah.
With porn.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but that's not like, oh God, I hate you now for me. It's like, okay, I got to deal with this, but look at all these other things you're doing in my life.
Yeah.
And you're still using this time of aloneness for me to be out everywhere, to be doing stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like God's still doing good things with my stupid mess ups.
Yeah.
But that sin has a temporal consequence in my life.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Same thing with weed.
Yeah. Well, there's everything. Like, for example, like we were talking about, like our both of us having like money struggles right now. But for me, that's because I don't have a discipline of like when I want something, I just go buy it.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not always as responsible with my money as I should be. And the consequence of that is sometimes it's like, uh-oh, I don't have any money.
Yeah.
Like that's a consequence. It's not because God doesn't love me or that he's not going to bless me, but if I'd be more responsible, then he'd let me be responsible with more.
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is, like, even I do the same thing with my money, where, like, bro, I got to share this quick testimony because I just found this out. So this kid at the church camp wanted me to buy him the Bible that your dad got me, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I go on the internet to look it up. Guess how much that Bible is?
I don't know.
$160.
Ooh.
First time I met your dad, he bought a $160 Bible for me.
Shoo-wee.
Not knowing if I'd ever read it again.
What is this, a Trump Bible?
It has, like, pictures of nukes and the Iran flag. Cut that out.
No, but tell me about the Bible because I've seen it, but
it's like, just an NIV study Bible. It has like maps and it's a life Bible.
Yeah.
So it has like maps and like there's this one thing in there. We talk about this a lot, like the like after you sin, the feelings, the shame, the whatever, all this and that. And I was talking to one of the kids about it, and you were reading from something, and at the bottom of that page was describing that.
Yeah.
So when we went to devotionals the day after I talked to him about it, I showed it to him. Oh, no, you were actually preaching, and I showed it to him. And he loved it. And he was like, that's awesome, the way it just breaks it down. It was like a list of what this feeling leads to, what this feeling leads to.
Then
eventually it was defeat. And it was like all Baptist. It all started with D's. You know, it was like despair, doubt, defeat.
Like 3 points, 3 sub-points, yeah. All alliterated.
5 points. That's a Calvinist Bible. That's stupid. But yeah, it was $160. So your dad bought me that Bible. First time meeting me, not knowing if I'd ever read it again, bought me a $160 Bible.
Yeah.
And that's, okay, to wrap it fully around, I'm like broke right now, dude, because I quit the job. Then I took a week off. We had 2 days off for a Jewish holiday. So, like, I got paid for 3 days. And, like, I get back and I'm like, I buy this Bible. Then I bought The Great Divorce for all the kids because they wanted to read it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, Hunter, he's like playing the game with me and his mic's all broken and messed up. So I bought him a mic and I'm like spending all this money. But the cool thing about this is like, if we have the right heart, this ties back to the covenant. Like if we see the covenant that God has with us, the promises he has for us, whether we do good or whether we do bad, it's like we can be free in that sense, right? Mm, so it's like the most free contract in the world. It's like God's like, I'll give you these things, I'll bless you. And his expectation is like, just believe in me, bro.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I give these things, if I do these things, even when I'm low on funds, I know that God is still like going to provide and bless me.
So that's the other part of him fulfilling the covenant, right? Is that not only is he doing all of the work of the covenant, carrying the entire burden on himself.
Yeah.
But he's also making us the person that would keep that covenant.
Yeah.
So like he's doing the work to make it like we're you talk about like, well, I need to be this or I need to be that. Well, God's going to do the work to get you where you need to be. He's working on you. Now, we have to listen. We have to be aware of his Holy Spirit moving in us and his word and all of those things. But he's doing the work to put us where we need to be.
Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong. It's not like, like I feel the draw to let go of these things. I feel the draw to throw it out the window while I'm driving, or I feel the draw to put my phone away while I'm laying down for bed, and I just don't do it.
Yeah.
So like, I don't really need help with like God telling me what I should do, because he's telling me. But like, I feel like he's like leaving the obedience to me, and I just, I don't do it. I'm like, I almost said I can't do it, but I just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, that leads you down so many rabbit holes of like, how could you love me still? And how could you even care for me? Or how could you even uphold the other side of this covenant? And anyways, I don't want to make this all about me, but it's, his covenant is like impossible to wrap our minds around the amount of love that's within that contract.
Yeah.
The amount of forgiveness and grace and just like to a perfect father. It really helps me to just materialize God, right? To just imagine him as like the best dad in the world, just knows what's right for you, knows what's best for you. It might be harsh sometimes. I don't understand it most of the time, but I know what he is doing in my life is good.
Yeah.
And good for me and good for the people around me. But I'm fighting it. I want to do what I want. I want to eat that Snickers bar at 11 o'clock at night, you know, even though I know it's going to keep me up all night and I might not be the person I need to be tomorrow to reach this one person. But I really want that Snickers bar.
Yeah.
It's like, how knowing that God is a good father, can I not just be obedient to him?
Mm.
But he keeps his covenant anyways.
Yeah. 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 And that's the, like when we go to this Bible verse that says, he who started a work in me is faithful to complete it.
Yeah.
Is like, he initiated the covenant. He's fulfilled the covenant. And he's going to complete the covenant.
Ugh.
And that's like, but why is that so hard for us to grasp?
Because it seems unfair. We were talking about this on the way here.
Yeah.
Where it's like everything, I mean, we live our lives for a reward. We work for a reward. We work for what we can get.
Yeah.
We save up for what we can get in the future.
Yeah.
It's like we're like building and building and building on what we earn and what we deserve. Like, I pay taxes. I deserve to own property. I deserve to own a house. I deserve to own my car.
Yeah.
But really, what do we deserve?
Yeah.
Eternal separation from God.
Huh. Kind of goes back to what we started with about like the government owes me money.
Yeah.
But it's like, but why do I deserve that? Right. Like,
Yeah. Gosh, go down a real rabbit hole on this on like, if like we inherit rights when we're born, if we're like, ooh. Have we talked about this?
I think we have. I just don't remember. I don't think we really did like a big in-depth thing on the podcast because it's so hard to talk about.
It is. It's like super psychological or whatever, philosophical or whatever.
Yeah.
Philosopher or whatever. We're stupid, dude. We're just two idiots. Just two idiots talking about nothing. No, we're not talking about nothing. We're talking about God, baby.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I don't know where this Malachi, the rest of this thing is going.
I could tell it was hard for you this
morning. Malachi 3 is not as, I don't think it's as intense as this week's was, but then Malachi 4 is like 5 verses, and it's real quick one, but it's got a lot of heavy meat in there, yeah. So it's going to be interesting.
A lot of heavy meat in there.
Yeah. Like a,
it's going to be
like
a lot for that like stage. Like
Arby's sandwich. It's got the beef.
It's not, it's got the meats. That's what Arby's is. It's not the beef.
Oh, well,
it's, we got the meats,
which doesn't make sense because I think mostly they deal in roast beef primarily.
Nah, dude, their chicken sandwich is fire, bro.
Oh, is it?
Who eats Arby's? Does anybody eat? You got to be a fat guy to eat Arby's. Oh, I'm sorry.
I like Arby's.
It's just like, who wants just meat pounded on a bun with cheese on
it,
dude?
I was setting you up for you to be like, I stand, you know, my case in point, because I said, you said, who eats Arby's? You have to just be a fat.
Oh.
And I eat Arby's, and I was waiting for you to be like, yeah, exactly. Perfect example.
What was that joke you said today about poop face? What was the word?
I said finkel faced.
Finkel face? You got to be a fat, finkel faced guy to eat something like that. I don't know. I thought your sermon, I know you probably hate getting patted on the back and stuff like that, but I appreciated your obedience to be bold. You reminded me a lot of your dad today, bro. Of like, I only knew him at the end of his life, and at the end of his life, he was probably just like, whatever, bro. I'm gonna let it rip, dude, and I'm gonna say what God's putting on my heart, bro. And
yeah,
he preached on a lot of hard stuff of who we are inherently, who we are by nature, and who God is trying to make us into.
Yeah.
And that dude, that boomed me forward, because I understood the important things first, instead of the Nephilim and all this and that, and you know, God loves me and yada yada yada. I had to understand who I was,
yeah,
and who I needed. And him and his boldness showed me those things. He didn't shy away. He didn't sugarcoat or baby it up for me. He just told me the truth with love. And that's what I saw you do today. And I know you don't like getting patted on the back. All glory to God, baby. But it was awesome, man. A lot of people in church were moved. And I hope that's what our podcast is doing, is yeah. We goof around and we make stupid jokes about Lutherans and Methodists and Catholics. But the truth is, like, the truth won't back down. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, that was clean, dude.
So smooth.
The truth is, bro, that like really this is a place for us to let out what is really on our hearts without like fear of like making anybody upset.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it is for me. Because if I can't see them and I don't know they're upset, then I'm good.
We're like keyboard warriors hiding behind our computer screen.
Our very cheap computer screen.
Yeah. This computer, hey, it's doing the trick. I figured out how to charge it, so it's all right. It'll last us another little bit.
Look, we're accepting donations on PayPal and MakeAWish.com.
Or people just, you know, just watch it, listen. That'd be great,
too.
Oh, yeah,
that'd be great, yep.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Send us some questions. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we need questions.
I mean, we're doing okay on content. I don't think we're too worried about running out of content, but questions would be nice.
It would be nice. We answered a lot of questions at church camp.
Yep.
It was really
cool. I love that kind of stuff. Yeah.
People have questions, man.
Yeah.
Well, and we definitely don't have the answers.
Right. No. Sometimes that's the best thing to do, is just say, hey, I don't have the answer, but God knows, and we can work it out together.
I think we provided a good answer, though, today on what a covenant is.
Yeah, I felt pretty good about it. I'm glad we talked about it when it's fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, with that, I think it is time to remind people that God's truth won't back down.
And neither should you.
Stay focused,
stay aggressive, and stay relentless
for God's
glory. Amen, dude. Right on track, dude. Right with you. That was like that guy translating.